We're in Galatians chapter 5, and we should be all the way down to verse 16, in case you've forgotten. It's been a long time, I know. We're talking about grace as opposed to the law, and that's been the topic of the entire book so far. It hasn't changed, and you and I, if you and I are born again, if we're Christians, we live out from under the law. We are under grace. We have to be careful with what we think that means, but that's exactly what God is teaching us. We're no longer under the law. We're free now. You've been set free finally. Free to do what? Free to serve the Lord. Before I was saved, I was not free. And I had to sin. I couldn't get loose. I was a servant of it. I couldn't break free. I couldn't, it was a mess. But when Jesus came into my heart, he set me free. Free to do what? Free to follow him finally. Free to do what he wants. Free to go where he says go. Free to hear him finally. And he gave me his Holy Spirit to do the things that he wants done. When you come to the Lord, your life is boring no longer. It's just not boring. I mean, every day is an adventure. You do not know where you're going to be next week. You just don't know it. Oh, yeah, you say, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at work. Yeah, right. Okay, let's see. Some of you used to tell me, oh, don't say those kinds of things. You're going to create your own reality. yeah, I have nothing to do with reality, first of all. Don't you worry. No, you know, David said one time, and David, he was a man after God's own heart. And David said one time, he said, I know he was hiding for 10 years and behind rocks and in caves and out under trees and things. And David he was depressed. He was so bummed. He just looked at some of the guys he was with and he said, I just know Saul is going to find me sooner or later and he's going to kill me. David, don't say that. Did Saul ever find him? Did Saul ever kill him? Mm-mm. No, you know, you're not creating things with your words. Oh, yeah, oh, don't get me wrong. You can sure create trouble. Found that out, huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, whoa. I had a shirt like that before my dad got a job, too. Yeah, you can use words and create a little bit of trouble. But you're not creating your own reality. Keep that in mind. And it's us living by faith. Well, let me show you. Let's take a look at verse 16. I'll quit talking now. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's how we do it. You've been saying, all right, it's grace or it's the law. We've been taken out from under the law. Now we walk in what we call grace. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, there is grace. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit means to, in our language, walk in the power of the Spirit. And the word walk is a present tense kind of situation. It means you are walking, keep on walking. So you could read the verse this way. Keep on walking in the power of the Spirit. That's how we do this. It is not done with mirrors. It is not done with just, all right, I've set my mind to it. You know, every new year, people come up with resolutions. All right, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to find that guy I've always wanted to marry. I'm going to get a job. And they put their mind to it. And how long does it last? Till the second. And they say, well, I'll lose weight maybe after the holidays because there's too much to eat. And you see, no, you know, putting your mind to something won't make it be. That's creating your own. It's not going to happen. As you walk through this life, you that are born again, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, this doesn't apply to you. You must be born again. Jesus, in the Nick at Night chapter, John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And Jesus says, Nick, you must be born from above. You must be born again. And so I'm telling you the same thing. You and I, we must be born again. None of this, I think I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. You know, you weren't born a Christian. You know, if you're born in a garage, you're not a car. You know, and you know that. Just because you're born in America doesn't make you a Christian. And my favorite is, if your cat has kittens in the oven, that doesn't make them muffins. You know, you got to know that. No, you weren't born a Christian. I asked someone who comes to church, and they've been coming years. I said, when were you saved? They said, I've always been saved. I thought, don't say that to me. tell me when you were saved. No, I've always been saved. I was born a Methodist. Oh, Lord. Let's open the Bible. Not that Methodist is the problem. It's just this whole born thing. No. When were you born again? When did you stop and on purpose say, I am a sinner and without a Savior, I am lost. I need Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the Jesus that I want. Not the Jesus of the Mormons who is a spirit brother of Lucifer, but I want the real guy and I want him in my heart. When did you stop and say, that's what I want? You had to do that sometime. You weren't born into it. I know your family makes you go to church sometime. You're coming to church, like it or not, as long as you live in my house. That's what you say to all three-year-olds. But sooner or later, you had to say, I want Jesus in my heart because I am a sinner. Not because my parents tell me I'm bad. Not because my friends did it. But I want Jesus in my heart. I'm amazed that people don't like to hear that. Hey, if Jesus is in your heart, then you need to walk through this life in dependence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Depending on the Holy Spirit, Jesus said we could have the Holy Spirit. Every one of you that's born again, the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your life. Now, you are not a little God. You're nice. You're gentle with children, housebroken, that's good. But you are not a little God like people are teaching us on TV. I am not a little God, but God lives in my heart. The Holy Spirit of the living God has taken up residence in my life by simple faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm supposed to walk in dependence on the Spirit. And in dependence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, walking in the power of the Spirit. You know, let's just look at it this way. The disciples, Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, Thomas, Philip, all those guys, excuse Judas. But even Judas was there for over 3 years. Now, place yourself in the shoes of a disciple for a minute. For the last almost 3.5 years, I've been walking with Jesus. Now, that's day in, day out, or as they say in America, 24/7. All the time with Jesus. We're always with him. I mean, get to the point, I quit my job. And I just started walking with Jesus. You know, me and my brother, we were fishermen. And we gave that up and we started walking with Jesus. Matthew, my buddy, he was a tax collector, loser. But it's okay. He's saved now. And he's walking with Jesus. He gave up a future. All these guys that I'm hanging around with and these girls that are walking with Jesus, every one of them gave up their life to do this. And we've been going 3.5 years. And the truth is, you sort of get comfortable in that. And by that, I mean, if I get up in the morning and this first thing I say to Jesus is, you know, you probably say good morning. I say, Lord, where are we going to eat? You know, and Jesus would say, you know, Bob, you know, we're not going to have breakfast. Okay. Well, you know what? As we're walking to the fields, go ahead and grab you some corn. You can eat that. Okay, that's fine. And I start taking the corn and eating that. And of course, the Pharisees don't like it. Hey, why is Bob doing that? You're walking to the field. It's a Sabbath. He's not allowed to do that. And Jesus would say, shut up, he's mine. I was just paraphrasing. And then we would go further and I would mention things like, where are we going to have dinner? Well, you ask him what you want. And you know what he'd say? Well, tonight, Bob, we're going to eat at Zacchaeus' house. Okay, I don't even know who that is. Some short dude lives in Jericho is what I heard. You know, do you get the point? Every day. What are we going to do today, Lord? He says, you know, we're going to head on over to the coast. You're kidding, right? No. Just go. Okay, we're going to the coast. What for? I don't know, just with Jesus. We're just going to the coast. I mean, you know, what do you want us to do, Lord? I mean, the place is packed, lots of people. Do you want us to stay here and help them get home? I'll tell you what, Bob. You guys head on over to the Sea of Galilee. Go to the other side. I'll make sure these people get on home, and I'll meet you over there. How are you going to get there? Don't you worry about that. I'll get there. All right, I'm counting on you. We get in the boat, and we go. What have we been doing for the last 3.5 years, 24/7? Just depending on Jesus. Isn't that true? Whatever he says, where are we going today, Lord? We're going to go down. What's his name? Who's that guy? Lazarus. Yeah, that guy. He's a good friend. I forgot his name, but he's a good friend of ours. Yeah, him and Mary and Martha, we ate there quite a bit. I remember, it's all based on eating. I just got it all down. And you see, We're going on down to Lazarus's, and I said, oh, boy, that's cool. Boy, they, Martha makes a meal. That's cool. I'm excited. We're going down there. And, you know, I thought Lazarus was sick. And Jesus says, no, he's sleeping. Oh, good. Then that means he's getting better, Thomas said. And, Jesus said, no, you guys aren't getting it, Bob. See, Lazarus is dead. Of course, I'd have been going, why go down there? No, stupid question. Martha and Mary will be there. We'll still eat. Let's go. We're just walking with Jesus. Have you gotten to the point yet to where you get up and you think, I'm just with the Lord. Now, wait a minute. 3.5 years have gone by, and everything I'm going to do today, he tells me. All right, Bob, you and Peter and John, you guys head over and pick up this little donkey and bring that on back over here. I'm going to ride it downtown. Okay? Well, we get the fun stuff. You know, we've been with him a long time. And so you can imagine how it must have felt there in that night when we were all sitting there in the upper room. And he said, you guys, I'm leaving. you can't leave. What do you mean you're leaving? You know, maybe, what, are you just going to go out and buy something? Well, we'll go with you. No, I'm leaving. And where I go, you can't go. What do you mean I can't go? Of course I can go. I mean, I gave up my job. All right. That's what we go with you. I mean, that's what I did. I gave up my life and you don't tell me I can't go with you. That's not right. You're ripping me off here. No, you can't go with me. But you will go eventually. I mean, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and my father's house, and I'll come back and get you. Well, what do you mean I can't go? Well, you will go soon. And you know the way. Well, I don't know the way, Philip said. I don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Don't panic. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There are a lot of places up there. I'll go get them for you and get them ready, and I'll come and get you. What are we supposed to do in the meantime? I quit my life for you, and I've given everything up for you, and now you're going to leave me here like this? And what did Jesus say? Oh, no, I would never leave you comfortless. I'll ask the Father, and he'll send you the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, Parakletos, in our language, another comforter. What does the language mean? It means the same as me. In other words, what I've been doing for you, Bob, for the last 3.5 years, Holy Spirit will do that. There's no way. I mean, I've got you now used to following me. Now, I'm not going to just leave you on your own to figure the rest of it out. I'll ask Father, he'll send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you, shall be in you, and will come upon you. So you're talking about being born again, the Holy Spirit taking residence, and even being baptized or submerged in the Holy Spirit. And he will be right there. And he'll be another comforter just like me. And so what did we just read? Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not alone. You've got God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit's going to be right there. And Jesus, what did Jesus say the night when he was leaving? And the apostles were a little bit nervous. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. The Spirit, you'll have the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And he'll teach you. You'll keep learning. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Read through John chapter 14. He'll teach you. And he'll remind you of things that you already know. He'll make sure. He'll guide you. He'll let you know. I say the Holy Spirit, you know, in the morning. Well, where are we eating today? Where are we going for breakfast? Are we going to do breakfast? What are we doing? And the Spirit will say, get in the boat and cross the Sea of Galilee. I'll meet you on the other side. No, the Spirit goes with you. So it's not like you've got to go find him. He's right here in your heart if you're born again. And he's going to tell you what to do today. How to walk. You say, well, Lord, how do you want us to handle this? Spirit of the living God will say, just take it easy. Come on, walk with me. Just let's walk. Let's see what we do. You know, we were out in New York. They dropped me off, me and another police officer. They dropped us off at the perimeter to Ground Zero. And I said, what do we do? I mean, I've never been here before, and I haven't slept for almost 48 hours. And I said, what do we do? And he says, just walk. Now, I hadn't slept in about 48 hours. It was 12 noon. He says, just walk. I'll pick you up at 4. I said, walk where? This is Manhattan. Is there a place I shouldn't walk? And he just says, I'll pick you up at 4. And he dropped us off. And so the other pastor, policeman, looks at me and goes, where should we go? I said, there's people. Let's go that way. See how the Spirit leads? Hey, people. Excuse me. Where am I? And that's what we did for 4 hours straight on our feet. We walked wherever we could find people. And you know, in New York, there's lots of people. And when I said, there's people, he turned around and there must have been a good 4,000 or 5,000. I said, let's go that way. There's a street. And we just walked for 4 hours and talked with people and watched people weep. And we prayed with some people and we didn't know them. And you know, how do you work in your day? Well, look, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in dependence and in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's really pretty simple. You don't have to know all the details of the upcoming week. All you have to do is start walking. Oh, there's some people. Let's go over there. Let's just see. Jesus, what do you want us to do in a case like this? Lord, tell us what to do. And you start talking with someone. And I've noticed that while they're talking to you, not ignoring them, but you say, well, I like to call them arrow prayers. You ever do arrow prayers? Lord, got anything? We're wide open here. Tell us what to say. I have no idea how to deal with this. And these people are talking to you. And then sometimes they'll say something. And in your mind, you'll say, you know, God's word says, and a scriptural came out of you that you didn't even know you had memorized. You know why it came out? Because you've been in God's word and the Holy Spirit brought it to your memory. He reminded you of what God's word said, and you could share it with them, and they'll go, that's just what I needed to hear. And you go, see, it's easy to follow God. It's not me. It's the Lord. Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if you are, what does the verse say? Walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, or keep on walking in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the old nature. Now, some of the desires of the old nature aren't bad. They're not bad. Sometimes you just have a desire stay. You see that thing move by itself? Don't mess around. Spirit is here, man. Some of the desires of the old nature, they're not so bad. You know, you say, I just want to sit down a little bit and just watch the tube. Well, you know, that's not so bad. Or is it? No. And all there is on is violence and news. But sometimes you listen to the Spirit, and the Spirit might say, why don't you just leave the tube off for another 2 minutes and open your Bible. And you think, where did that come from? Open your Bible. It might have been the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the devil. Maybe you ought to stop for a moment. Just open the Word of God for a bit. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with some of the desires that we have. We just have to be careful that our flesh doesn't begin to take over. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice, victory over your flesh, over your old nature. Victory over the old nature is not found in your own strength. Victory over that nature, that my flesh, is not found in my own abilities or strength. You know, and people say, well, I read my Bible. I pray. I go to church. Good. So what? How is everything else going? What's it like in your own heart? Are you listening to what the Lord's got to say? Are you walking in the power and in the wisdom and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit? If you will, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll have victory over your flesh. You see, it's dependence, complete dependence on the Holy Spirit, His strength, His guidance, His prompting, His leading. We need to begin to be getting used to listening to God. Victory. Now notice verse 17. See, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want or you would like. Now that's the word of God, so I believe it. The flesh lusts. The word that we would use as opposed to lust, because sometimes lust carries a really an ugly connotation. We think lust, we think it, we get into sexual sin and all that. So here's the word that you could put in its place. The flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars or is at war against the flesh. Now you understand at war, that's when there's literal fighting going on, and all the time that's a war. And you see, your flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. You've got an old nature. And those of you that are born again with Jesus in your heart, those of us, well, we have a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, don't misunderstand what that scripture means. Yes, you've been given a new nature, but you still have the old nature that is with you all the time. And you will not lose that old nature. And I don't care what any of you think or what someone has taught you. You will not have that old nature gone until this body is gone. I see it still here. Yours is anyway. Therefore, don't think for one minute you've overcome it. Because you haven't, neither have I. And they are warring against each other. There is a literal fight going on. And who's winning? Well, notice they are contrary to each other. Meaning, they are adversaries. They are at war constantly. Meaning, without ceasing. You've got the two natures. You will have those two natures until you leave this body. If you don't believe that, go back and read slowly 1 John. It makes it very clear. Those natures are at war every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month of every year. And you can, I have seen, reckon that old nature, that old man dead. Don't feed him. Don't even let him, just nail him to the ground for a good 20, 30 years. It amazes me when you let up for a minute, he comes back. He's tired, he's a little shaky, but he's still wanting to take over. Notice that? The war never ceases. So Paul's telling us, keep on walking in the power of the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because see, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, underline it because I know Christians don't believe that. You cannot do the things that you would. Christians say, not me, not me. I've overcome that in most areas of my life. Your flesh can prevent you from doing things that you would like to do for the Lord. Or doing things the way God would like you to do them. And it can be all flesh. Paul in Romans chapter 7, and yes, he was completely born again and spirit-filled when he wrote it. In chapter 7, he said it better than I ever could have said it. He said, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing that. And the things I do want to do, I don't do them. What in the earth is wrong with me? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't saying that as a baby Christian who hadn't figured it out like some people teach. Paul was saying that as a mature Christian who realizes that this flesh will continue to want to rule as long as we're in it. Now you see why we cannot take it with us to heaven. Because it is fallen. It is old nature. And this corruptible must put on incorruptible, incorruption. These bodies won't go to heaven. If we're raptured in the next minute or so, your body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be given a resurrected body because this earth suit cannot go. And it will always war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So that there are times and you'll catch yourself saying something you shouldn't have said. I mean me. I'll catch myself saying something I shouldn't. Why did I say that? Where did that come from? Came from my old nature, who seems to be healthy and well. Shouldn't say things like that. Shouldn't think things like that. Shouldn't do that kind of thing. What are you doing? What's wrong? I thought you were a Christian. How many times have people said to you, you can't, you're a Christian and you do that. You're a Christian and you say that. Well, the truth is, yeah, man, and I'm sorry. And I just kill me. Because, yeah, I know I'm saved and I'm not sure where that kind of thinking came from. It's a war that's going on. Everybody's fighting it. Everybody around you, even the ones that say, not me. The ones that say, not me, also have a pride problem. And that flesh is big in that area. You need to be able to say, yeah, oh yeah, oh Lord, don't let it be me. I love the attitude at the Last Supper of the disciples when Jesus said, one of you will betray me. I would have been sitting there going, Peter, you jerk. I knew it would be you, man. You've been on my nerve. I don't even think you're saved. Instead of that, what was the attitude of the disciples? With broken hearts, they asked this question. And I know how it feels now. They said, oh, Lord, it's not me, is it? Oh, I've had a terrible week. Oh, my, I'm a mess. Don't tell me I'm going to do that too. Please, don't let it be me. Isn't that a good attitude to have? Someone says, hey, there's a lot of gossip going on in church. You stop and go, oh, Lord, don't let it be me. Please. Instead of going, I knew it, man, that girl, that guy, look at them. The attitude is, don't let it be me, because my flesh and my spirit, they're not going to let up. It's all right. I got good news. Your spirit's going to win. But you're still walking now. So walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. One more verse. Can we do it? Maybe. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. There it is. Christians keep saying, what do you mean we're not under the law? What do you mean? How can that be possible? I know it's grace, but my goodness, don't we have to keep the Ten Commandments? Don't we have to? I mean, we shouldn't be murdering, should we? Or we shouldn't. Listen, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are no longer under the law. You see, the godly life is not lived under a bunch of rules and regulations. Someone who is completely led by the Spirit of God, you don't have to look at them and say, thou shalt not murder. Why? Why don't you have to say that to them? Because the Spirit of God they are listening to, and the Spirit of God is never going to have them run out and murder. It's not going to happen. You don't have to give them a list of things to wear and a list of things that they can't wear. Why? Because they're listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, they're going to be careful what they wear, and they're going to be careful how they handle each other, and they're going to love it. They're going to be doing those things because the Spirit of God is leading them. That's all he's saying. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The godly life is lived in accordance with the Spirit of the living God, where we have guidance, strength, direction, wisdom, purpose, all that we need. So he says to the believer, that's you and me, he says, keep on walking in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The power to overcome the flesh is not found in your own strength, but it is found in the power of the living God. And you can walk here. From here in righteousness, simply listening to the Lord. You can do that. He loves you just as much as he loves everyone else. He gives you his Holy Spirit. He is right there. Spirit will say to you, this is the way, walk in it. Don't go that way, don't go that way. There's trouble over there. Stay right here. The Spirit of God will let you know. Just as when we walked with Jesus there in Galilee, we'd say, Jesus, what do we do here? And he'd say, this is what I want you to do. Jesus, how come you say this? And how come you told them this story? And he would sit and he would say, this is why. This is what I was telling them. Spirit does the same thing to you. He'll teach you. He'll grow you. He loves you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to overpower with your mind. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Let's bow our heads.